Morning. We're looking again at Luke chapter 24, and we know that there are three groups of people that are in this story. Last week we looked at the first group, today we'll be looking at the second group. So the first group, if you remember, were a bunch of women who went to the tomb early on the first day of the week, on the third day since the resurrection. And they wanted to anoint Jesus' body with spices and so on in their custom. And when they got there, there was no body. The tomb was empty. And then they met some angels who came down and told them, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen." And then he said, "Don't you remember what Jesus said to you while he was with you in Galilee?" And then they remembered. And as soon as they remembered, the angels were gone and they were on their way back to Jerusalem to tell everybody about it. They believed when they remembered Jesus' words. Today we're going to look at the second group of Jesus' followers. And that's two of the disciples, or two of the followers, who decided that they would leave Jerusalem and go back possibly to their own home. They had heard the women's story, and it says, "We were amazed, we were astonished at what the woman said to us about the empty tomb." And some of the disciples went and checked it out, and it was true. But they didn't believe because they didn't see Jesus. And in our story today, it's full of irony, because who was walking along with these two men who didn't believe that Jesus was alive because they didn't see him? It was Jesus was walking with them. And they saw him, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. They believed, however, as they listened to Jesus' words. So our outline today, we should listen to Jesus' words when things don't turn out the way we expect. And then we should listen to Jesus' words, especially when we are forced to reevaluate our expectations. And we are to listen to Jesus' words when we're in the midst of trying to communicate our new expectations. So, when things do not turn out as you expect. So here's these two followers of Jesus. They've just gone through the terrible time on Friday when they saw Jesus being executed. They had to rest on the Sabbath, and then they get this news about Jesus being alive, but they can't confirm it. So what do? They leave. When things do not turn out as you expect, do you leave sometimes? Want to get away by yourself? And yet, they couldn't stop talking about it. It was just going through their mind. And there's several different words that are used. They talked, they discussed. And there's even one that says they threw it back and forth like a ball. They were playing catch with this whole idea. They couldn't stop talking about the death of Jesus. And then they didn't recognize Jesus when he was walking with them. And when he stopped and asked them, "What were you talking about on the way?" It says they stopped walking and they turned and their faces were gloomy. They were sad faces. Even though we can have gloomy faces sometimes because things don't turn out the way we expect them to, that does not alter the fact that Jesus is still walking with us. We may not be able to see him there, but he's there nevertheless, because he has promised to go through life with us. These two men couldn't believe that this stranger didn't understand what they were talking about. He said, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who hasn't heard what has happened in the past couple of days?" And they were kind of shocked at having to explain it to someone new, and maybe just a little bit rude to Jesus. And then they're talking about it. They talk about who Jesus was, but then they point the finger and said, this was because of our rulers and our chief priests. And I know from personal experience, when things don't go the way I expect them to, I'm happy to point the finger and say, it's because of him. It's because of her. It's because of them. And we do that too. And we can just kind of feel very compassionately towards these two men. They were very, very disappointed. And you remember what they said about Jesus, that Jesus, he was a prophet, powerful in word and in deed before God and all the people. But the chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we, he said, we had thought that this man was the one who was going to redeem Israel, the Messiah. We had hoped in this man. And you can just... they were completely disillusioned. They were disappointed. Here was God's mighty prophet, and here was God's leaders, the chief priests in the temple, and they did away with Jesus. Don't you get angry at injustice? When we think about the invasion of Ukraine and the terrible things that are happening there, we get angry. Why, God, are you allowing this to happen? What do you do when things do not turn out as you expect? And then they were forced to reevaluate their expectations. And as they were talking to Jesus, it's obvious that they already had the answer. They heard the women's report that the tomb was empty. And they said, and it's the third day. Now, come on, that should have clicked in their minds, because they heard Jesus talk about several times that what was going to happen to him. And on the third day, he would rise again. They had that in their minds. Someone said that as you get older, your memory fails. Well, it's nothing wrong with your filing system. It's the retrieval system. And they had that in their memories. The women remembered after they were reminded, but the men hadn't caught on yet. What was the hook for them was that the angel said, yes, he's risen. And the women said the tomb was empty. And the men who went and checked saw the tomb empty. But no one saw Jesus. And how does Jesus respond to them? Well, he says, oh, you foolish people, who you are so slow in your heart to believe all that the prophets have said. Wow, is that a wake-up call or what? He said, what? What do you mean we're foolish? What do you mean? And Jesus started with Moses and went through all the prophets, and he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. Now, that's the narrator speaking to us. They didn't know that he was talking about himself. He said, did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? So, can you think of anything in Moses which would talk about Jesus? So Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. In Genesis chapter 3, the promise was given that a descendant of the woman would crush the head of the serpent, but that the serpent would strike at his heel. That was the first promise of the Savior coming, and he would be suffering harm from the enemy of our souls. In Exodus, the Passover lamb. Remember what John the Baptist said when he saw Jesus? Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And the Passover lamb was a sacrifice. And it was the blood of the lamb on the doorposts which caused the angel of death to pass over that house and not kill the firstborn. In Leviticus, it talks about all of the sacrifices, the burnt offerings. And one of them, on the Day of Atonement, there were two animals. One was slaughtered at the temple, and the other one was taken outside the city and let go. And he was the scapegoat, and all of the sins were read over him. And he was the one who bore the sins away. There's so many of the prophets. Isaiah 53. All we like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned every one of us to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him all of our iniquity. And in Daniel chapter 7 and Zechariah 9, they will look on me and see whom they have pierced, and they will mourn because of me. Talking about Israel coming back to the Lord. At the beginning of Luke, Jesus goes home to his own home church, synagogue, and he preaches this message. He read from Isaiah. This is what Jesus preached. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of everyone on the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Imagine if we asked Tohar to preach. I think he's going to speak at the youth retreat, or the youth service. Maybe they haven't told you this yet, but... Imagine if Tohar comes and he reads the scripture, and then he says, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." But Jesus recognized that the Old Testament had many, many things in it that spoke of him. So, this little village that they were going to, it says that it was 7 miles from Jerusalem. So how fast do you walk? Especially when you're talking to someone. So there's that old joke about what was the elephant doing on the highway? Oh, about 3 miles an hour. 3 miles an hour is a fairly, in this body, it's a lot harder to do 3 miles an hour. But if it's 7 miles and you do 3 miles an hour, that's at least 2 hours. So they were 2 hours getting some roadside assistance from Jesus. A Bible study that lasted 3 hours as they were walking along. And if they were going slower than 3 miles an hour, it would have been longer. And Jesus said, it was necessary for the Messiah to suffer these things and then to enter his glory. This wasn't just the fault of the chief priests and the rulers of Israel who delivered Jesus over. It wasn't the fault of the Romans who did the crucifying. This was God's plan, that he sent his son to die in our place and to take the punishment for our sins so that we may be made righteous through trusting in Jesus Christ. So finally, they got to Emmaus, and Jesus looked like he was just going to keep on going, and they insisted very strongly that he stay for supper. And the Greek word is almost like they strong-armed him, like they grabbed him by the arm and they kind of dragged him in. They were very insistent. They wanted to hear more, and they were concerned for him. And this man was no longer a stranger. He was someone whom they wanted to listen to more. And so as they sat down to a meal, Jesus took the bread and he gave thanks for it, and then he broke it apart and he gave it to each of them. And all of a sudden, that familiar gestures that they had seen Jesus do for the last 3 years just struck right home to them, and their eyes were lifted, and they were able to identify that was Jesus. And after Jesus disappeared, what did they say to one another? Didn't our hearts burn within us as we heard him speak from the scripture, as he opened the scriptures to us? And Luke does a little play on the words. He says, their eyes were opened to see Jesus, and then they said, he opened our eyes, opened the scriptures to our eyes. Now, when you try to communicate your new expectations, what had they done? They had left all the rest of the people. I don't know if they were disillusioned, if they said anything, but they just skedaddled out of Jerusalem. And what was the first thing that they did? They got up and they went back that same hour. And they made it probably a little bit less than the 2 or 3 hours at 3 miles an hour. They were going back with good news, whereas they had been coming out and they were so full of sorrow. They went back to their group without delay. And they didn't get any words out at first, because everybody else by this time had found out that Jesus, yes, he was alive. He said, truly, he is alive. And he appeared to Simon Peter. So when you're trying to communicate your new expectations of life with Jesus, do some listening first to hear what other people are saying. And then you give your testimony. You recount how Jesus has opened your eyes to God's purpose for your life, and that he has restored your hope for the future, and that you can see him in the scriptures. That's what Jesus found so important for these two men, was not to see him alive, but to look to the scriptures and hear that he was alive. And then they recognized him in that fellowship time with him. We often go through things that we don't expect to go through. And many times it's a wake-up call for us to figure out really what's been going on. If I misinterpreted things, and Jesus wants us to know that we can go to the scriptures, we can go to the New Testament, it wasn't written back then, and to the Old Testament, and be encouraged what we read there about the Lord Jesus himself. And then we are needing to listen to what Jesus has said. Their hearts burned at the memory of what Jesus has said. Their hearts were burning when they were listening to what Jesus had said. What difference does that make in our lives? And I've requested for a song that's written by or sung by Steve Green, which talks about this. morning. We're looking again at Luke chapter 24. And we know that there are three groups of people that are in this story. Last week we looked at the first group. Today we'll be looking at the second group. So the first group, if you remember, were a bunch of women who went to the tomb early on the first day of the week, on the third day since the resurrection, and they wanted to anoint Jesus' body with spices and so on in their custom. And when they got there, there was no body. The tomb was empty. And then they met some angels who came down and told them, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen." And then he said, "Don't you remember what Jesus said to you while he was with you in Galilee?" And then they remembered. And as soon as they remembered, the angels were gone and they were on their way back to Jerusalem to tell everybody about it. They believed when they remembered Jesus' words. Today we're going to look at the second group of Jesus' followers. And that's two of the disciples, or two of the followers, who decided that they would leave Jerusalem and go back possibly to their own home. They had heard the women's story, and it says, "We were amazed, we were astonished at what the woman said to us about the empty tomb." And some of the disciples went and checked it out, and it was true. But they didn't believe because they didn't see Jesus. And in our story today, it's full of irony, because who was walking along with these two men who didn't believe that Jesus was alive because they didn't see him? It was Jesus was walking with them. And they saw him, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. They believed, however, as they listened to Jesus' words. So our outline today, we listen to Jesus' words when things, or we should listen to Jesus' words when things don't turn out the way we expect. And then we should listen to Jesus' words, especially when we are forced to reevaluate our expectations. And we are to listen to Jesus' words when we're in the midst of trying to communicate our new expectations. So, when things do not turn out as you expect. So here's these two followers of Jesus. They've just gone through the terrible time on Friday when they saw Jesus being executed. They had to rest on the Sabbath, and then they get this news about Jesus being alive, but they can't confirm it. So what do? They leave. When things do not turn out as you expect, do you leave sometimes? Want to get away by yourself? And yet, they couldn't stop talking about it. It was just going through their mind. And there's several different words that are used. They talked, they discussed. And there's even one that says they threw it back and forth like a ball. They were playing catch with this whole idea. They couldn't stop talking about the death of Jesus. And then they didn't recognize Jesus when he was walking with them. And when he stopped and asked them, "What were you talking about on the way?" It says they stopped walking and they turned and their faces were gloomy. They were sad faces. Even though we can have gloomy faces sometimes because things don't turn out the way we expect them to, that does not alter the fact that Jesus is still walking with us. We may not be able to see him there, but he's there nevertheless, because he has promised to go through life with us. These two men couldn't believe that this stranger didn't understand what they were talking about. He said, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who hasn't heard what has happened in the past couple of days?" And they were kind of shocked at having to explain it to someone new, and maybe just a little bit rude to Jesus. And then they're talking about it. They talk about who Jesus was, but then they point the finger and said, this was because of our rulers and our chief priests. And I know from personal experience, when things don't go the way I expect them to, I'm happy to point the finger and say, it's because of him. It's because of her. It's because of them. And we do that too. And we can just kind of feel very compassionately towards these two men. They were very, very disappointed. And you remember what they said about Jesus, that Jesus, he was a prophet, powerful in word and in deed before God and all the people. But the chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we, he said, we had thought that this man was the one who was going to redeem Israel, the Messiah. We had hoped in this man. And you can just, they were completely disillusioned. They were disappointed. Here was God's mighty prophet, and here was God's leaders, the chief priests in the temple, and they did away with Jesus. Don't you get angry at injustice? When we think about the invasion of Ukraine and the terrible things that are happening there, we get angry. Why, God, are you allowing this to happen? What do you do when things do not turn out as you expect? And then they were forced to reevaluate their expectations. And as they were talking to Jesus, it's obvious that they already had the answer. They heard the women's report that the tomb was empty. And they said, and it's the third day. Now, come on, that should have clicked in their minds, because they heard Jesus talk about several times that what was going to happen to him. And on the third day, he would rise again. They had that in their minds. It's, someone said that as you get older, your memory fails. Well, it's nothing wrong with your filing system. It's the retrieval system. And they had that in their memories. The women remembered after they were reminded, but the men hadn't caught on yet. They didn't. What was the hook for them was that the angel said, yes, he's risen. And the women said the tomb was empty. And the men who went and checked saw the tomb empty, but no one saw Jesus. And how does Jesus respond to them? Well, he says, oh, you foolish people, who you are so slow in your heart to believe all that the prophets have said. Wow, is that a wake-up call or what? He said, what? What do you mean we're foolish? What do we mean? And Jesus started with Moses and went through all the prophets, and he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. Now, that's the narrator speaking to us. They didn't know that he was talking about himself. He said, did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? So, can you think of anything in Moses which would talk about Jesus? So Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. In Genesis chapter 3, the promise was given that a descendant of the woman would crush the head of the serpent, but that the serpent would strike at his heel. That was the first promise of the Savior coming, and he would be suffering harm from the enemy of our souls. In Exodus, the Passover lamb Remember what John the Baptist said when he saw Jesus? Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And the Passover lamb was a sacrifice. And it was the blood of the lamb on the doorpost which caused the angel of death to pass over that house and not kill the firstborn. In Leviticus, it talks about all of the sacrifices, the burnt offerings. And one of them, on the Day of Atonement, there were two animals. One was slaughtered at the temple, and the other one was taken outside the city and let go. And he was the scapegoat, and all of the sins were read over him. And he was the one who bore the sins away. There's so many of the prophets. Isaiah 53. All we like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned every one of us to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him all of our iniquity. And in Daniel chapter 7 and Zechariah 9, they will look on me and see whom they have pierced, and they will mourn because of me. Talking about Israel coming back to the Lord. At the beginning of Luke, Jesus goes home to his own home church, synagogue, and he preaches this message. He read from Isaiah, and it says, in chapter 4, this is what Jesus preached. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of everyone on the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Imagine if we ask Tovar to preach. I think he's going to speak at the youth retreat or the youth service. Maybe they haven't told you this yet, but you imagine if Tovar comes and he reads the scripture and then he says, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." But Jesus recognized that the Old Testament had many, many things in it that spoke of him. So, this little village that they were going to, it says that it was 7 miles from Jerusalem. So how fast do you walk? Especially when you're talking to someone. So there's that old joke about what was the elephant doing on the highway? Oh, about 3 miles an hour. 3 miles an hour is a fairly, in this body, it's a lot harder to do 3 miles an hour. But if it's 7 miles and you do 3 miles an hour, that's at least 2 hours. So they were 2 hours getting some roadside assistance from Jesus. A Bible study that lasted 3 hours as they were walking along. And if they were going slower than 3 miles an hour, it would have been longer. And Jesus said, it was necessary for the Messiah to suffer these things and then to enter his glory. This wasn't just the fault of the chief priests and the rulers of Israel who delivered Jesus over. It wasn't the fault of the Romans who did the crucifying. This was God's plan, that he sent his son to die in our place and to take the punishment for our sins, so that we may be made righteous through trusting in Jesus Christ. So finally, they got to Emmaus, and Jesus looked like he was just going to keep on going, and they insisted very strongly that he stay for supper. And the Greek word is almost like they strong-armed him, like they grabbed him by the arm and they kind of dragged him in. They were very insistent. They wanted to hear more, and they were concerned for him. They were rude, and they were not any rude, more rude. They weren't any longer rude. And this man was no longer a stranger. He was someone whom they wanted to listen to more. And so as they sat down to a meal, Jesus took the bread and he gave thanks for it, and then he broke it apart and he gave it to each of them. And all of a sudden, that familiar gestures that they had seen Jesus do for the last 3 years just struck right home to them, and their eyes were lifted and they were able to identify that was Jesus. And after Jesus disappeared, what did they say to one another? Didn't our hearts burn within us as we heard him speak from the scripture, as he opened the scriptures to us? And Luke does a little play on the words. He says, their eyes were open to see Jesus. And then they said, he opened our eyes, opened the scriptures to our eyes. Now, when you try to communicate your new expectations, what had they done? They had left all the rest of the people. I don't know if they were disillusioned, if they said anything, but they just skedaddled out of Jerusalem. And what was the first thing that they did? They got up and they went back that same hour. And they made it probably a little bit less than the 2 or 3 hours at 3 miles an hour. They were going back with good news, whereas they had been coming out and they were so full of sorrow. They went back to their group without delay. And they didn't get any words out at first, because everybody else by this time had found out that Jesus, yes, he was alive. He said, truly, he is alive. And he appeared to Simon Peter. So when you're trying to communicate your new expectations of life with Jesus, do some listening first to hear what other people are saying. And then you give your testimony. You recount how Jesus has opened your eyes to God's purpose for your life, and that he has restored your hope for the future, and that you can see him in the scriptures. That's what Jesus was so found so important for these two men, was not to see him alive, but to look to the scriptures and hear that he was alive. And then they recognized him in that fellowship time with him. We often go through things that we don't expect to go through. And many times it's a wake-up call for us to figure out really what's been going on. If I misinterpreted things, and Jesus wants us to know that we can go to the scriptures, we can go to the New Testament, it wasn't written back then, and to the Old Testament, and be encouraged what we read there about the Lord Jesus himself. And then we are needing to listen to what Jesus has said. Their hearts burned at the memory of what Jesus has said. Their hearts were burning when they were listening to what Jesus had said. What difference does that make in our lives? And I've requested for a song that's written by or sung by Steve Green, which talks about this. Thank you.
he walked beside me, like he'd been there all along. Not a stranger, but a father who can sense when something's wrong. And he answered all my questions, and he understood my fears. That somehow vanished now that he was here. Can't you see who walks with you? Can't you hear who speaks your name? Can't you feel something stirring?
Father, again, we do thank you for this time we've been able to spend in your house. Thank you, Lord, for the message we've heard this morning. We pray, Lord, that we know we've seen you, we've thought we've seen you, we thought we've heard you, but may we see and hear you even more, Lord, in the coming days. Father, may we develop a stronger relationship with you, Lord, that you would help us through all our trials in life, that you would help us through all the hindrances, Lord, that we don't see you. May you just bless us, Lord, as we leave this place. May you bless our fellowship downstairs. Bless the food that's been prepared. For we ask it in your name. Amen.